Hello and welcome to the Printing Press Podcast number 009. You are listening to the theme song from the film Carrie. Also, music will include ELO and VHS or Beta. Sounds like my type of band. In today's episode, we learn that they are all going to laugh at you, while we break down the entire book by Stephen King. We know this is Juliet's month, but how does Ben fit in the picture? If this is the printing press's idea of a fun month, I don't think I want to be part of this. Very, very scary girl, this Carrie. Hea, hea, hea. That rhymed. Very funny. Well, without any further ado, reading between the lines so you don't have to, your educators in the hatch, Brian and Karen.
Alright, 009, we are getting there. And our narrator made a little joke. What is that? Oh, he's a little witty one. Yeah, it was a scary, scary month for us. I didn't have much fun because it was pretty scary. I mean, thinking if this could really happen as you go further into the book and you realize, can other people do this? Oi, Karen!
Yeah?
How are you?
I'm good, preparing for Halloween, of course.
Right.
And now that I'm in a scary mode, you know, from reading scary books. So, yeah, getting ready. I bought candy, of course. Got to buy the Apollo bars, get them all ready to hand them out, you know.
Definitely. This is good. This is good. We're on our 9th podcast. And thank you again for hits. Hits galore on the on the Podomatic. It's pretty crazy. I found out what the stats do, and I looked at them. You know, we have a lot of time down here, and a lot coming from the iTunes, and a lot really even on iPhones. I did not know that. So thank you, and I want to thank everybody also for people who crossed over to the Before You Submit podcast as well. Thank you, Jim and I at Movie Brain Rot. We're having a ball. So thank you to Jim for helping me out over there. And hey, if you guys need any film festival tips, any movie news, and anything fun that you just need to get off your chest with a film, we talk about it. Check it out.
You guys have been great over there with that, and you know
it's kind of funny.
I'm supporting, and wish you guys well, and it's happening, and I'm very, very happy for you.
Thank you. We're having a good time. So yeah, let's wrap up this book. We talked about Bloodsport the last podcast, and then we get into Prom Night in this one. And chapter 3, how fitting is that it's called Wreckage. So I thought that was great. If that doesn't connect to Law somehow, I don't know what does. I love this book. I have to agree with Juliet. I loved it. I've never read it before. I saw the movie younger. I remember the film Terror in the Isles when I was a kid. It was one of my favorite films because it just took a whole smorgasbord of horror films of Marathon Man, The Exorcist, Carrie, just Halloween, and it was narrated by different people in famous horror films, and I remember Carrie being the huge one in the film, Terror in the Isles, and I watched the film young. Wow, maybe that's why I never dated in high school. It was just kind of like, oy vey.
But you really put a damper on you for the whole prom experience.
Yeah, you know, I don't even think I went to prom, to be honest, so there you go. That's probably why. And but I loved it. I loved the different sides, how everybody kind of told a story in this. As you read Bloodsport, you're reading it from, Sue Snell tells some insight from another book, and then you have The Shadow Exploded. But here, even Norma tells you about, in Prom Night, Norma, she explains her thoughts of Prom Night as she got out. And then you also have interviews through, you know, the police. Unbelievable. I thought this was just a great idea for many sides of the story, and I loved it. So let's talk about Prom Night.
Well, obviously, we finished Bloodsport, that first half of the book, and obviously it was about the theme of blood and red and all that. Keeping in mind that the whole entire of the story is the poor girl Carrie has been kept out of reality by her own mother's and her mother's fears and perception of the real world. So let's keep that in mind, okay? And let's acknowledge this, and we're going to get to it in a few minutes. We are going to talk about Walt. I got a lot of messages from fans asking how come we didn't mention Walt when talking about powers and things like that, because I on purpose wanted to keep him for this week.
Spoiler alert.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Are you ready for a little bit of insight now?
I am.
All right, cool.
Hit me.
Well, we have the continuation of the blood theme with the second half of the book, with the red dress that Carrie makes for the prom. Mrs. White is so freaked out by this whole dress and her going to the prom and her showing her sexiness and all this stuff.
Dirty pillows.
Yeah,
Vanessa calls them dirty pillows, by the way, now.
She does not.
Yeah, she's been calling them dirty pillows now. So.
Oh, God.
Boy,
But Mrs. White starts to hit herself and stuff like that. She just is a glutton for punishment and of her own doing. But blood seems to be the root of the power, quote-unquote power, at least in Mrs. White's eyes. We also discover in the second half of the book, continuing at the blood theme, that Sue Snell was a week late. So more blood theme. While waiting for Carrie to return home from the prom, Mrs. White cuts herself on purpose. Again, that self-punishment again. We also have the pig's blood doused the king and queen of the prom. More blood. And Mrs. White, we do discover, tried to kill Carrie as a baby. At the prom, Carrie and Tommy, they're a hit at the prom. That goes over fairly well. I mean, she's a little unsure about going to the prom, but it seems to go pretty well, at least in the beginning. They win king and queen of the prom by one fixed vote. But the joke gets played on out with the humiliation of Carrie and the pig's blood, unfortunately. The sound of the applause while all of this chaos is going on, you know, when they're crowned king and queen and the blood and all that happens, it's kind of almost mushed together. I noted that it was important that at that moment, the sound of the applause made Carrie feel woozy and dreamlike. And at that point, that's when her power kicked in. She traps everyone in. Then there's the fires and the explosions and all this craziness. And it was just chaos. But the reason for all of that was revenge and to teach them a lesson. After all the craziness at the prom, Carrie is on her way home.
Setting the whole town on fire.
Exactly. She's downtown. She's setting everything up and blowing things up.
Did you notice this? And as a Stephen King fan, I know you're a huge Stephen King fan.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen your bookshelf. Did you notice who owns the Sitco / Amoco, was it? It was an Amoco.
Now I'm going to draw a blank because I have my other notes in front of me. No, tell me.
Teddy Deschamps.
Yeah.
Teddy Deschamps was in The Body, which later became Rob Reiner's film, Stand By Me, played by Corey Feldman, who played Teddy Deschamps.
Well, there are things like that do reoccur
in his books, right? Yeah. I just thought that was so cool because Stand By Me is one of my favorite films of all time, and I did read The Body going through either middle school or high school because I just loved Stand By Me. But then when I was reading and finding out that Teddy Deschamps' his gas station blew up, I was like, what? And then I just kept repeating his name throughout the end of the book. So, all right, keep going.
Well, as Carrie's going home downtown, still causing chaos in her path, Carrie does realize that her mother was right after all. At this point of the story, we do see that mother and daughter have plans to kill each other. Mrs. White recalls the story about the devil and Jacob. Once at home in a confrontation with her mother, Carrie uses her mind's eye to slow her mother's heart rate to eventually cause it to stop. I want to note that Locke teaches Walt to use his mind's eye when teaching him to throw the knife in season one. Okay, now moving on. It's important to still remember this. Carrie was still the victim of her mother's obsession and delusionment of reality. I want to also acknowledge that telekinetic power or talent is hereditary, yet it's not really different than any other mind over matter thing, like such as people who could walk over the hot coals and stuff like that. So it's really a mind over matter.
Can we have Carrie explain to us telekinesis?
Yes, please do.
Okay, let's see what she has to say.
Telekinesis. Thought to be the ability to move or to cause changes in objects by force of the mind.
Okay, now she has telekinetic power, right?
Uh-huh.
Because she's in high school when she reads this in the library. Can that help Carrie learn how to read? That's 19 seconds of her. That is the slowest thing. Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Brian De Palma's like, so you know what telekinesis is, people. Sissy, we're going to have you say this in as long.
Phonics.
Yeah. So, Carrie, telekinesis can cure stupid. So I hope so. Yeah, right? So, okay.
But we do learn that the telekinetic power or the talent is hereditary. I want you to know that the researchers, you know how we read story within the story of other books written about the White family and all that. The researchers wanted to research the Brigham family tree. That's Mrs. White's side of the family. Mrs. White's grandmother also had this power. We also find out in information from the book, The Shadow Exploded, that, ready for this, progress is being made to isolate the TK gene, the telekinetic gene. They feel it is part of DNA, just like eye color is. If a child is born with telekinetic power, they can be isolated, as in isolated from society and the rest of the world. No treatment for telekinetic power except, there is no treatment for telekinetic power except for a bullet in the head. How about that? So they're going to isolate this gene, which, of course, in this story, it's the telekinetic gene, okay?
Right.
I kind of feel that in the lost story, there's something going on with genes and breeding and isolating the genes.
Yeah,
definitely. I don't know in what capacity yet. The story of the book, Carrie, also mentions hieroglyphics. But let's get to the end of the story. The end of the story of Carrie. At the end, Sue Snell meets up with Carrie, and Sue Snell makes a point to say that she can actually feel Carrie dies. So she actually had some sort of connection to Carrie at that very end of the book.
Right.
The book does end with the insight into another little girl born telekinetic power. My question is, are the island residents on Lost, are they being isolated for some reason? It was just a thought that I thought of. That's all.
I like that thought. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, everybody has their own power on that island, you know?
I make no secret about it, that I kind of feel that something is going on with medical testing and genes and maybe blending genes and things like that. But we do also know that the Dharma Initiative was, one of their areas of study was parapsychology. Hence, now we have the book Carrie, and that maybe have been our nod to parapsychology. It's important to the island residents, okay? We know that we want to mention Ben, and that's important.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about Ben and this book and or power or anything like that?
I will leave that up to – I'm going to think about that. So let's go into our next song, which is – everybody knows these guys. I hope you do. Jeff Lynne, he is the brains behind the Electric Light Orchestra. These guys came out in the 70s. And had many hits, many, many hits. And I know they were from the UK. Jeff Lynne kind of fronted this whole thing. He was the brains behind this. Later on became one of the Traveling Wilburys. Still tries to do ELO at some times. You'll recognize the song, Evil Woman. This is ELO's Evil Woman. So there you go, ELO, Evil Woman.
Now that song will be in my head all the rest of the day.
Oh, I love that song. Yeah. I love those guys. Still can't get it out of my head. That's another one of their songs. Yeah. Ben, you asked a question of Ben.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, there's a type of power that he has. And is it through manipulation? Definitely. Definitely. So the question of Ben and ties to this book, the mother. I think he is very much Margaret White. He has this power over, I guess I can't, power over the anybody who can be manipulated. And we only see it really through one, in the film, Margaret White does interact with another person, and that's Chris's, is it Chris? Yeah, it's Chris's mother. She interacts with Chris's mother in the film, and she has this manipulation right there to not persuade the woman into becoming one with Christ, but here's money towards the church, which mm-hmm. she never asked for. So, I can see Ben definitely having that power.
But we do know that, you know, is it a power as in a telekinetic power? Okay, you know, one of these kind of powers. Or is Ben's power more based on the talent that he's cultivated into talking people into things? He is a magician, basically.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Okay, let's go from somebody who's been on the island who has that talent, and somebody who came onto the island, which you just mentioned earlier in the podcast, is someone like Walt. Now, right. Everybody, yes, we should have mentioned Walt in the last one that we did, and because, yeah, we did get an overflow of comments, which I really didn't think. I thought, thank you.
I'm glad people are.
And I'm glad people caught on, and I'm actually really glad that the interaction is out there and people are really concerned. Because Walt, what about, yeah, he's very much...
We can see that we know that Walt seems to be able to almost telepathically communicate with Vincent. We see that when he's reading his little school book, and if you see Susan and Brian talking, you can actually see Walt and Vincent almost like they're talking to each other without saying a word.
And what is he reading about?
Well, he's reading about birds, and he seems to have this ability to disable birds.
Uh-huh.
And you know, we have the polar bear thingy with him, and he.
Well, then the bird crashes into the window. A bird crashes. You're not paying attention to me. Hello.
Yep.
And bam.
So he has this thing with the birds, and we know that from also one of the Mobisodes outside of the window,
right.
Or the boarded up window of room 23.
Right. There's all those dead birds.
He also seems to be able to appear in certain. Receptive people's visuals.
Right.
Shannon has seen him, Saeed has seen him, and Locke has seen him. Here's my question. Why wouldn't Walt appear to Michael in the Swan Hatch if he was able to do this appearing and disappearing act? The possibility exists that it wasn't even Walt doing the communicating, you know, via the computer at that point. It's not, because the computer's not supposed to be used for anything other than entering the numbers. We know that. So we know Walt has been able to appear to three people. Shannon, mm-hmm. Saeed, and Locke, okay? Why wouldn't he have appeared to his own father, okay? Well, I kind of leaning towards it really wasn't Walt.
No, I don't think Walt was on the computer at all. No, no.
Not at all.
I think that's what we're very much led to believe. Because, honestly, I think Michael knows Walt's ability. Because, remember the episode, I think it was second episode or third, we are introduced to Walt's power instantly. As we get to know everybody in the pilot, and then the second pilot, but then we get to the third episode, he wants his dog. And we're going to find this dog after it's done raining. Within a second, stops raining. Now let's go find the dog. It's just like, Walt introduced his power very early to us in this show, and to Michael. You know, so
I think Michael knows that Walt is very important. I think Michael also kind of, to some degree, knows what he's involved with. He knows about the island. He knows that it's hard to get back to. And we're finding all that out in season one, people. If you go back and listen to the dialogue, Michael is no stranger to the situation that he's in. There is no doubt in my mind whatsoever. It's in the dialogue. But, you know, Ben, okay, so Walt does have some sort of, he's special. There's no doubt about it.
And we were hinted towards Juliet, who was brought to the island.
He can summon and communicate with Smoke Monster.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but is Ben really all-knowing? Like I said, is it really a power that he has? Or is it just him knowing how to put certain things into play because he already knows what's written out already?
You're calling him a magician. And that's true.
I am. I'm an illusionist.
Isn't there somebody that has to teach Ben these things? You know, is there somebody else that might be helping Ben in that situation? I mean, we have yet to interact with Jacob at all. I mean, really.
Well, everybody has a boss. Everybody has someone.
Always. And, I mean, Jacob has a boss, and that might be some spinoff on Sci-Fi Channel 3 years from now. We don't know. But,
But what about like Miles, who says he could see dead people and communicate with dead people.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So that's a parapsychology
right.
topic. What about Echo? Echo was able to have a dream or a vision about dead Anna Lucia before really even knowing she was dead. And we have Boone, who's able to hang out with Locke in the sweat lodge, in that sweat lodge vision in Further Instructions. You know, then we have people who also have other kinds of prophetic or vision dreamy type things, Charlie and Claire.
Yep. Those
are some sort of whether they're precognitive or
yeah, like what's Claire doing? She's hanging out with dead people, you know? It's like everybody has a power and there's a reason
why
they're there. And we're starting to learn.
We think they are.
And we're starting to learn one of the main things about this book. You could have left a huge loophole, but Stephen King really dots all I's, crosses all T's when he explains it's hereditary. That is a huge, like, it's not a mystery on the island anymore.
No,
it is hereditary. There is so much.
Yeah.
I mean, Claire's hanging out with her dad. And Jack's dad. So it's like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like,
you know, I mean, you know, maybe Christian is Alex's father too. I mean, there's more than meets the eye to so many of the layers.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt. I mean, but you know, okay. And let's acknowledge this because we're going to get messages about this one too, while we're talking about telekinetic powers and parapsychology. Desmond. Now, let me just get it out there because I know fans don't like where I go with the whole Desmond thing. But Desmond is shown in the Lost story to have, he could see the future. Okay. That's what we're led to believe. So can Desmond really, really see the future? Which would be right in our parapsychology. Is there remote viewing involved, which is part of parapsychology? Remember, we have Claire, who's able to see herself sitting with Ethan.
Mm-hmm.
But back at Desmond, he convinces people that he could see the future. I'm always cautious to say. I just get cautious.
Mm-hmm.
That
I agree.
He can be seeing the future. Sure, maybe he is.
Why not?
Okay, but if we think logically, just for a moment, it may not be what we think it is, and. But we do have all the elements in many characters of parapsychology, power, visions, dreams, remote viewing, precognitive abilities. So there are so many of that is touched upon in our story. But is it really what we think it is? That's all I'm saying about that.
Never. And it never is. Do we keep talking about Desmond? I mean, he took care of himself. He's done, right? Isn't he gone?
Well, listen to me. When I spoke to you, Brian, about the further instructions, we talked about Locke ascending and Desmond descending,
mm-hmm.
and where all the clues came into, and I kind of deciphered all of it. Okay, well, the further instructions video shows us in that video that Desmond is off the island. He's descending. Goodbye. I'm off now. Maybe his tour of duty is over.
Yeah, he's got his arm around the women, it shows that.
He is off the island now. So he is in the quote-unquote real world, okay?
Oh, he's coming back. I mean, obviously he has to, and we're not going to.
Well, because he's wearing
spoilers.
The pilot's outfit, so he must be piloting something, or he's in control of something. So,
and we got the whole Widmore connection,
right.
So.
But as far as Desmond being, the dude that could see the future, there is no doubt that we are led to believe that that is part of our parapsychology thread in the story. That's that. But, you know, if they have done this before, if all of the Losties have done this before and are going to do it again, okay, you know, living these things over again.
Right.
Or whatever. We don't know if we're going to find out that they've run through these things just twice, or did they run through these things 10 times? What if? I'm just saying what if, people. Don't write me nasty letters. Maybe Desmond is, maybe he has this gift of seeing the future. Maybe he truly does. I personally think he used whatever he was experienced to use Charlie to get to Penny. So, if they run through all of these things before, maybe, is it possible, just possible, Desmond was having a memory of what was coming next and not really seeing the future?
Dun,
I don't know.
Dun, dun.
I don't know.
Well, in the future, we do have a podcast coming up on November 12th.
Yay!
And we let you know in the last one. Alice in Wonderland. We are going to read Alice in Wonderland. And it's two books in one. I did kind of look it up. It's the first one's Alice's Adventures to Wonderland, and then the second one is Through the Looking Glass. Well, on November 12th, everybody, have Alice's Adventures in Wonderland done. Done, because we're going to be recapping that. And are we going to have time Thanksgiving week?
Oh, yeah.
Are we getting a weekend pass to, you know, off this island? That's what we'll do. Yeah, I think we should. We should definitely put a request in now. We will be doing the podcast for Through the Looking Glass that week of Thanksgiving, so you'll have that up that Tuesday.
This was a great one. Didn't want that book read or be part of the book club because of not just the parapsychology aspect of it.
Because he knows what she's capable of.
But what if Ben didn't want them to read it because they may get clued into the being separated from reality aspect or the mom being you know what I'm saying? That whole part of Carrie being
He does break up the party. So,
oh, sure does.
You know, he knows
he
how to.
Sure does.
But then the book was already read, people. So come on, Ben, yeah. You could have done better than that. Everybody already read it. So, again, thank you for this week. We did very good, very good. I love this book, and this might be something to tackle again maybe next year because this is a book that definitely after this season coming up, we might be seeing something new. You know,
I hope that this season now, because I'm still so on the fence with so many of the things, you know what I'm saying? I'm hoping this season will say, look, Karen, here it is. We do have Desmond. Desmond is totally able to see the future.
Not going
to
happen. You know, seriously, are you watching the same show I'm watching?
Yeah,
so,
right?
So, remember everybody, we are the Lost Book Club on Twitter. You can follow us on that. We do update every once in a while of what we're doing, if it's on other TV shows, science fiction books, or whatever. Anything Lost, we don't give spoilers away, so try not to do that for us.
Questions, comments.
Please, we have an email. I know we have an email, yeah?
Yeah.
TheLostBookClub@yahoo.com. We're on MySpace, and we have a Facebook group. You can find us. Type in on Facebook, search The Printing Press. We're right there. That's our little logo with the book in there. We're everywhere. What are we doing? And then you can find us at Podomatic, theprintingpress.podomatic.com, and on iTunes. So thank you. Karen, thank you.
Oh, thank you, darling. I know I was very in a heightened sense of passion this week about the story and Lost.
This one needed it, I'll tell you. This one needed it.
It needed it. It was just a lot going on, you know. And great Halloween, you know.
Yeah, that's right. I got to get my candy now. I got to get my costume now.
Costume.
Yeah,
we
maybe
need Apollo bumps.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna bick my head and go as a Locke. I have a wheelchair, so maybe I could do that. So we are out of here, and I guess we're gonna listen to our last band. They are actually, go ahead, narrator. You wanted to say this. You like these guys?
Thank you, Brian. This band is VHS Orbita, and the song is called Night on Fire.
Okay, well there you go. VHS Orbita, Night on Fire. Karen, you ready to say goodbye? Namaste.
Namaste.
Bye, everybody.